Psalm 30:5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Freedom, on the plains of the savannah. Ryan sank to her knees and relaxed back against her ankles. The cook fire she'd been bent over for the past several hours was naught but smoking coals now. She rubbed her fingers into the cramping muscles of her lower back. Despite the pain, she couldn't feel anything but relief to know that all the people of the encampment had now been fed. Several parties had even already departed to return to their villages. As different chieftains located what was left of their people, many hadn't wasted time in taking leave of the white man who, to their way of thinking, might change his mind at any moment and clap them back in irons. This morning, after Trent rescued the captives, Keiko had located the men and women of his tribe and freed them from their shackles. Some of the men he had taken with him on a hunt. The others had been set to releasing the rest of the captives, building up cook fires, and fetching water for those who were too weak to go to the nearby creek themselves. Ryan had cleansed and tended as best she could, more wounds caused by the chafing of manacles than she could stomach. Partway through the day, after she had washed the ankles of a vacant-eyed girl of no more than 5 years of age, the frustration and heart-wrenching empathy had taken the last of her composure. Trent had discovered her with tears streaming down her face as she cleaned the wounds of the next child, and had made her change jobs with June, whose task it had been to make porridge. Ryan couldn't deny that the change of scenery, from blood and blisters and glimpses of white bone through ebony skin, to bubbling porridge with steam wisping from it, had been a most welcome contrast. With Bagamoyo only a couple days ahead of him, Khalifa had nearly depleted the supplies he had been feeding the captives. Ryan hated to think what the meals would have been like over the next few days. She and Trent had found a meager supply of cornmeal, however. The porridge had been thin to make it stretch further, but they had done their best to make sure every person ate a decent meal by including pieces of game from the gazelles Keiko and his men had bagged. Trent had broken up two fights between parties when fear had made them grapple over scraps. The first sight of food on the heels of weeks of near starvation had the tendency to transform people into hoarders. It had taken some convincing on the captain's part for everyone to share equally. Ryan knew the portions had been insufficient, yet even at that, they were much more plentiful than the people had been fed for the past weeks. Some of the captives had been so hungry that they hadn't even waited for the meat to cook, but had simply devoured their portions raw. Ryan shuddered. She was hungry, but she didn't think she would ever be that hungry. The thoughts of food penetrated her consciousness, and her stomach loudly protested its emptiness. She had doled out the last of the thin gruel as a second helping to Muyu, and there was nothing left in her pot. She should go see if any meat was left, but she couldn't seem to work up the energy to rise now that she'd relaxed for a moment. She glanced over and noticed Moyo and Niimbo seated together on a rock. Their heads were tipped together, and Moyo was sharing her bowl of porridge. A smile tugged at Ryan's lips, even as exhaustion draped her shoulders. Though she'd been watching the two of them off and on all day, she could still hardly believe that her long nightmare was over. They were all reunited. Weeping may last through the night, but joy cometh in the morning. The verse soothed her in that moment. Perhaps her morning had finally dawned. A bee buzzed around her shoulders, and she swept a hand at it. As she twisted to make sure the bee was flying away and wouldn't get caught in her hair, one of her ankles pressed against a sharp stone. She gasped and shut her eyes at the severity of the pain. She eased her hip to the ground and carefully lifted the hem of her skirt to examine the ankle. It was red and swollen, and looked like it was getting infected. On the long trek, she tried her best to keep the broken skin clean, but it appeared she was losing the battle. Footsteps sounded, and she quickly tossed the hem back over the injury. Trent sank down, balancing on the balls of his feet beside her. Resting his forearms against his knees, he clasped one wrist with his other hand. His gaze flicked down to the torn lace edging near her ankle.
"Are you okay?"